Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to the WWE SmackDown Post Show. It's Denise Salcedo, as always, joined by Robin Lundberg. Robin, what is up?
I'm cranky tonight, Denise. You know, I'm just not, you know, I get accused sometimes of being a WWE stan and taking whatever. I'm a little, there's some things that bothered me.
Is it because SmackDown was boring tonight?
Yeah, that's part of it. Yeah, it was boring.
It was super boring. I was going to come on here and be like, I was going to text you during the show and be like, yo, I have no idea what the hell is the big story for today. I sat staring at this thumbnail for like 2 minutes, Robin. And I was like, what the hell should I put on this thumbnail that would be interesting? And I'm going to be real with you guys. SmackDown, it just didn't hit today.
Yeah, smack dud, I guess you could call it. I mean, and there's, it's not just that it was boring. There's also a few things that are bothering me a little bit, which I'm sure we'll get into in more detail. But like, why was Carmelo Hayes the second pick in the draft if he's going to be presented like a lesser character and lose every single match? You know, why does Cody Rhodes let everyone dictate the terms for everything he does when he's supposed to be the guy? You know, these are the things that bother me, Denise. And I will repeat, I don't care how many times I say it, I miss my tribal chief. You hear it. You hear the crowd. It gets louder every damn week with the We Want Roman chants.
Well, I got to tell you, for me, it was more so that I was willing to give this bloodline 2.0 an honest to God chance. I've sat here each and every single week and I was like, hey, you know what? I'm feeling it. I'm starting to feel Solo Sikoa. He's getting his groove, blah, blah, blah. I've said a bunch of stuff, right? Today I was sitting here going, what is new with the bloodline 2.0? Absolutely nothing. And I think that's where I started to feel like I'm turning on the bloodline.
Bootleg bloodline. It really does feel that way. Roman Reigns is going to be such a massive face when he comes back. It's not even going to be possible to comprehend. But I thought it worked really well at the beginning, Denise, when they first introduced Solo as this character and he felt stronger than he had in a while. And the dynamic with Paul Heyman, that felt very strong as he was clearly afraid of what was going on. But it hasn't advanced at all. And now we're waiting for some sort of payoff. Like, what's next? What's the payoff? And is Kevin Owens going to just feud with the bloodline no matter who's in it for all of eternity? Is that, you know, like, what's the point?
I know. Didn't he have, like, at least, like, 3 or 4 matches with Roman Reigns during his long 4-year run as champion?
Yeah. I mean, he's been involved in this for a minute now. I mean, then you take the Sami Zayn connection, obviously, too, going up against the Usos a couple of WrestleManias back. And so we need the plot twist. We need to advance the story at some point because SmackDown was a special show. And I mean, a lot of that is Roman. It really is. You know, the biggest star in the industry, him being on the brand made it feel like a special show. Did not feel like a special show tonight. Hasn't really in a while. There are a couple bits I liked. I liked LA Knight and Logan Paul. I thought that was actually the strongest thing on the show. I like the Chelsea Green, Piper Niven thing that they're developing a little bit. I thought that was pretty good. But the rest of it just like, what's going on here, guys? You know, you had me up here, and now you're bringing me down.
So that's why you're cranky today, Robin.
Well, we're doing a SmackDown Live, you know, reaction show. I gotta bring you the content.
I know. I feel you, man. I feel you. I don't even blame you on this one because I kind of felt it too with today's show. So let's go ahead and see how the people here felt. We got some super chats in here, and let's see what everybody thought. So this is from Kevin Zwicker, who says, "Hey guys, KO will forever hate the Bloodline." You see what I'm saying? It's like permanent feud for the rest of time. Kevin Owens' son, you've seen his son. He's like super tall and whatnot. He's going to be feuding with Roman Reigns' future children. Actually, I don't even know because I don't know what the age difference is there between them, but I'm pretty sure it'll be fine. It'll work itself out.
You need a chart to figure it out with the Bloodline, right? Like ever since The Rock put that up on the screen, it's been a handy reference point.
They had it too, the little Bloodline chart. They had it at the Axis. What are they calling it? The world. Yeah. They had it there. And there was people that were like literally standing in front of it, like studying it. I passed by and I was like, yeah, I'll look at that later.
But yeah, I mean, even the end when KO is getting beat, like, what's the heat coming from? What? Why am I even angry that you're attacking? You already attacked Kevin. You crashed your car into Kevin Owens. How long ago was that? It was a while ago. Like, well, I'm like, not mad at you for attacking Kevin Owens anymore.
Yeah, it's just like, it's really not that. Here's the thing about Kevin Owens. Like, the reason why Kevin Owens is in this position, because no matter what, Kevin Owens connects to the people. And no matter what, people are never going to shit on Kevin Owens. Like, people just like him. So I feel like they always put him in these spots because no matter what, people are not going to tune away from Kevin Owens. They know that his matches are going to be good. They know his promos are going to be good. And they know what they're going to get out of him. So I feel like they always trust him to put him in pretty much any story. And that's why we saw him wrestle Roman Reigns so many times, because it was interesting each and every single time they did. And now fast forward to what they're doing with the Bloodline. Again, they can always count on Kevin Owens. That's why Kevin Owens is always in that spot.
Well, they gave him the Stone Cold Steve Austin match, right? I mean, way back when. And that was, you know, you need a lot of trust because obviously given where Austin is, he needs to have a specific type of match and to have it still be entertaining. Yes, so they have a lot of faith in KO, and they should. I mean, he's great at what he does. But it's almost like, okay, good enough, right? Like AJ Styles and Cody Rhodes, we know these guys can put on matches, good enough. Kevin Owens, we know you like him, good enough. And we need business to pick up. It needs to come soon. Triple H, whoever is calling the shots over there, you could feed me more. Sorry, I shouldn't have referenced that guy. But you know what I mean.
Oh my God, not freaking Ryback, feed me more. Oh man, did I ever tell you Ryback blocked me? I know I've said it on the air a bunch of times because it's my funny story. It's like my one block I'm proud of.
No, because it's interesting because it doesn't shock me that he would block somebody. He seems like, but what would you do to get blocked? Like, you don't seem like a blockable person.
You know, I don't know what I did to get blocked, but he's not the only person who's blocked me. And all the times that I've been blocked, I don't know why I was blocked. And then, but I will say this though, Ryback unblocked me. So I don't know what I did, but I got back on his good graces.
Oh, there you go. Anybody else like prominent block you?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I'll tell
nobody
you.
Wants
I'll
to tell share. You off air.
None that I want to share. Yeah. That's for the exclusive. I'm not there yet. In like 30 years, when I'm like already done and about to round out this career, I'll be like, I remember that one time in 2024 that I was blocked by so-and-so.
You were blocked by a legend, is what you're saying. You can say that, right?
Yeah, I was blocked
by a legend.
I was blocked by it. But you know what I noticed though? All the people who block me tend to unblock me afterwards. It's really weird. I don't know what it is, but I'm just like, all right, whatever. We got 5 memberships from Sheldon Jackson. Sheldon, who is out here, or I think returning already back, but he was out here in Los Angeles living his best life on vacation. I was jelly and I was like, bro, I live here and you're having a better time than I am.
Is that what he writes on the board? Like 5 DWO memberships, 5 DWO memberships.
Imagine. I love that. Thank you so much to Sheldon. As always, we got Jana here who says, Nia and Tiffany versus Bianca and Jade, just take all my money. So I wonder, like, we're going to talk more about Nia and Tiffany and see where they're going with all of this. But, you know, at some point we are definitely going to get this matchup here. I just don't know when. But I do like that there's sort of this friendship between Nia and Tiffany Stratton. I know they have a real life friendship because I always see their post on social media. Like they're always hanging out because I follow Tiffany on social media. And I see her always hanging out with Nia Jax. And then it looks like they were starting to, you know, show that on screen. And I'm like, oh, it's been a while since Nia Jax has had an on-screen friend. And I wasn't expecting them to sort of link up with one another.
Well, you need heavies to go. I mean, the one thing I think they also did successfully tonight is continue to present Bianca and Jade as this unstoppable, unbeatable team. Because even when they're getting outnumbered and beat up, they respond and are able to clean house and everything. So who could possibly take the titles off of Bianca and Jade? You need to put, you know, real heavyweights on the other side. Obviously, not literally for Tiffany, but you know what I mean. And that is good for the other two ladies. Obviously, clearly, Nia just won the Queen of the Ring. She's as hot as she's ever been. And they've been positioning Tiffany for that next run here for a minute. So it does make sense to have them be opposite Bianca and Jade, given how Jade and Bianca are being presented right now, which is like you see the people attacking them and you're like, come on. Yeah, you know that's not happening.
Yeah. And so you were talking about Nia Jax, and I want to bring up that backstage segment that she had with Meechan, by the way, because I thought that was hilarious. Dude, did Nia Jax trip on purpose or was it on accident? Because if it was on purpose, she made it look real good.
Yeah. I think it might have been a self-catch in the moment there.
We got Brandon Rosen here who says, with Bayley's booking the way it is, and after that fantastic promo from Piper, I now want Piper to win at Clash at the Castle. Not gonna lie. So I definitely don't want to see Piper defeat Bayley at Clash at the Castle, but I will say this, though. That promo from Piper today, we had a really quick segment with Bayley and Piper and Chelsea that actually was very entertaining. And it was Bayley goes out there. She barely says like a couple of words, and then she is immediately cut off by Chelsea and Piper. They go out there, and Piper's talking about how Clash at the Castle is going to be in her home country. And she starts putting over some of her accolades throughout her career, what she did for Scottish wrestling and how she was busting her ass throughout the UK and Japan. And there was a really good line that I liked from this was when she told Bayley, if you knew how dangerous I was, you wouldn't be standing so close to me. And I thought, oh, damn. But this match is happening at Clash at the Castle. How are you feeling about the story that they're telling here, and how are you feeling about Bayley's run as champ?
Yeah, I don't really disagree with Brandon here. I was feeling Piper Niven more in that moment. And I like the Piper and Chelsea Green dynamic. I mean, Chelsea does such a great job selling that. What's the word for that character? That like ingrained.
She has been, she's fun. She's got finesse of the character. Like the character's so bratty and spoiled, and she just knows what she's doing with it.
And it works in the sense that because of that, she can lose and keep moving on. But she's done so well, I think she is worthy of being elevated. And Piper Niven has really impressed me in recent matches in the ring as well. And when you have someone of her stature, you know, again, you can only, for so long, credibility only lasts when you keep saying, oh, like, here comes this big, tough girl, and then she loses. Here comes this big, tough girl, and then she loses. Okay, no longer a big, tough girl anymore. So I do, whether it's against Bayley at Clash of the Castle or not, I think they are primed to sort of put that tandem over, and I think that tandem is worthy of it. And Bayley as champ has felt flat to me, so I don't really disagree. I wouldn't even mind seeing Piper Niven win.
But I think why Bayley's run has felt flat to you is because they haven't done anything with her. Like, what are they doing? Like, they haven't done anything with Bayley. Like, they didn't even let her go out there and cut, like, an awesome promo. She said, like, three words, and next thing you know, it's over. And I can't even tell you what those three words were, honestly. And they haven't been, like, showing her that she's hardly been on the show. She doesn't get the same TV time. Just last week, we were sitting here talking about how someone called her, a lame duck, because she just came out, got her ass beat, and then was just laying there while these two other girls cut a promo. And so I feel it's the way that they set Bayley up. It's kind of for, like, they've been setting her up for failure. And so I don't want her run to end at Clash at the Castle and for that to be the story of it all. Like, to me, it was so nice seeing her win the Rumble. It was so nice seeing her defeat Io Shirai. And we were all expecting this to be a nice run, and this has been so dull, but I don't think it's Bayley's fault at all. I feel like they just haven't been giving her enough material, and they haven't been presenting her strongly as a champion.
I think Bailey and Cody have some similarities where their characters are such where the attachment is due to the struggle and the journey. Like, so much of what made you love them is that they were going after it. They hadn't gotten it yet. And they kept fighting and they kept persevering and they kept pushing through and they were going to get there. They were going to get it. And then they got it. And once they got it, where do you go? Because, you know, what would you do? I guess let me spin it back on you. What would you do with Bailey?
Right now with Bailey, I would have her like in some hot program with either Tiffany Stratton. I would have her in there with Nia Jax. I would definitely do the Piper thing, but I would give her a lot more promos. I would definitely just fire her up a lot more because she got over when she was doing, you know, the ding dong hello stuff. She got over in the stuff that she was doing with Bianca Belair, which is literally some of my favorite work for both Bailey and Bianca. And so we've seen these instances, damage control. She got over with that. And she only did like little things here and there, but it's just a matter of putting the camera on that person and giving them something to do on the show. And I feel like even though that sounds like the bare minimum, I don't feel like they've been doing the bare minimum with Bailey.
Well, damage control gave her an identity and a purpose in a different way, right? And the heel version of that, which she did well with. You know, I'm not trying to diss Bailey or you know, I just haven't felt her title reigns, and she got it and maybe you're right, like the fact that she didn't talk much. Because I'm trying to remember the last time Piper Niven dominated somebody in a promo battle.
No, it's been forever. Like, even she, like, I mean, she's had a totally different, you know, run in WWE. I mean, let's not forget when they totally messed her up and put her as Doudrop. Like, that was just terrible. Like, how could you do that to her? And so, like, she has had a hard time climbing back up there. But this partnership with her and Chelsea has sort of struck gold because Chelsea's really funny. Piper's totally opposite of her. And then she went in and she had, oh my gosh, I'm blanking right now on the match that she just had recently that I really enjoyed. And I can't even remember who it was against right now. But I remember her just doing a good job and wanting to, was it her? Oh, her and Jade. Her and Jade. That was the match that I remember enjoying during the tournament. And so, like, I just, like, want to continue to see more of that. But because it's been such a hard route for her. I don't feel like I see her as a champion just yet. That's why I can't see her defeating Bailey because, again, her route on WWE has been so mismatched to what everybody else thought she was going to be doing.
Yeah, but it feels – sometimes you just can't control it or, you know, you're not prepared for it. I just feel like she's got it right now. Like, whatever it is working for her. That pairing is working for her. It's almost like – it's sort of similar in ways to like the Chad Gable Otis thing over on Raw. Not exactly because there's friction there and but those two are working well in unison. And I think, you know, elevating the entire program as a result. And then I think the dynamic between Chelsea and Piper Niven is working so well that it's bringing out the best in both of them. And you have to capitalize when something like that is happening or else you lose it. Does that mean she has to beat Bailey for the championship? Not necessarily, but I think it'd be naive to not see and feel what we're feeling a little bit right there, which is, okay, Piper can cook a bit. You know, I didn't realize, I thought she was, you know, good, but maybe she's better than I thought.
See, I still feel like I have to see a lot more. Again, like, I just remember too much of what they've been having her do, like, the last several years. And until they, like, really switch that up, I can't say that I would want her to defeat Bailey because I trust Bailey. Even though right now Bailey's championship run has felt flat, I still trust Bailey as a champion more so. Again, because I haven't seen Piper in that situation. So I don't know, man. Like, I did like her promo today, though, so I will give her kudos for that because she came out there and she was strong on that promo. She was getting what chanted, which sucked, but I still thought she was doing pretty good with just, like, all of that. We got Steven Marchulli who says the Bloodline story needs Jacob Fatu ASAP. Yeah, it needs it definitely does. But here's the thing, okay? Like, they bring in Jacob Fatu, and then what? He's stuck doing the exact same thing that they're doing right now. Like, I kind of hate that it's like, oh, let's bring somebody else in, but then so that we can sort of be stuck in the same place.
Except for he has just more instant credibility and excitement. Has Solo Sikoa won a match since he beat John Cena? I don't know if he's won a match since he beat John Cena.
I'm pretty sure he has.
He's hit some Samoan spikes. When did the Fatu signing went down? I think I remember
the rumors were around WrestleMania.
Because I think I remember actually heading into the arena and seeing you on social media posting one of your interviews that you had done with him in the past. So it was WrestleMania. I was walking into WrestleMania with my son, I think right before one of the night, whatever it was. But you posted an old interview you did. And I remember going back and watching these clips, and it's like, whoa, you know, this dude has got like that pizzazz, that sizzle, that dynamicism. Is that even a word? That you can't teach, right? Like, and he would bring some credit, because right now that bloodline doesn't have credibility. It just doesn't. Like, you're telling me this is supposed to be the big threat because Solo Sikoa cut his hair and wears a glove? You know, like, that's not going to do it. You need some heavy. And whether or not it's Fatu that's doing the manipulation behind the scenes, which would be a hell of an elevation immediately, or it's The Rock doing it, it's one of those two guys. I do think, you know, we've been sort of sitting on our hands waiting for him, because we've known it's coming for a while now. It may 2 months since that was announced, more or less, that, all right, when's the reveal? When's that happening? Because I do think he could help, because he is a legitimate monster.
You know what's crazy? You bring up that interview that I did with Jacob Fatu. And dude, so when I first posted that a couple months ago, because it's not that old, I think I did it in January or something. And I did the interview, and I think it was sitting at like 4,000 views. Like, that's what it was about, right? I recently checked after WrestleMania, it skyrocketed to over 40,000 views on YouTube. And I was like, what the F? And it was just so crazy because I didn't expect it. And it just like really skyrocketed. But it's because there's not a lot out there of him just talking. And so I was going through some of the comments, and everybody was like, damn, this guy has so much personality. He sounds just like one of the Usos, and he's so cool. And he just has like a very like vibrant, positive aura around him, and you can feel it. I know I felt it when I was doing the interview with him. I was like, damn, like, I'm hyped, man. Like, he got me hyped, because that's the kind of personality he has. Like, I was already a fan of him, you know, in the ring, because like you said, he's so explosive and all of that. That's just who he is. But also, personality wise, it is pretty crazy. So I do think that, yeah, we do need to bring him into the story. But I also want to see, you know what would be exciting now that I think about it? Jacob Fatu versus Kevin Owens. Think about that. That shit would be really fun.
Well, I mean, because I keep bringing up Roman, but it's not even just Roman. Jey Uso too. Like, Jey Uso has the top two selling t-shirts in the WWE right now. So you reference how Fatu has a charisma like one of the Usos. Well, that's a lot of charisma removed from the blood. When you remove the charisma of Roman Reigns and The Rock and Jey Uso, and prior to that, Sami Zayn, with everything that went on with that storyline, and you replace them with a guy who didn't talk for 3 years, it's a little difficult.
Even I just remembered that he didn't talk for 3 years.
To take it the same way. Like, Paul Heyman's doing the heavy lifting for everything, and there's only so far he can go. And I think it'll pay off well when I think, you know, Paul Heyman's about to be attacked and Roman comes and saves Paul Heyman. I think that's what's happening. That's the big face pop return for Roman Reigns when he comes out and saves Paul Heyman, and people are going to lose their minds. So I do think the payoff will work out, but it feels like we're starting to stretch, I guess, is what I'm saying. It worked post-WrestleMania for a little bit, but now it feels like it's starting to stretch.
It's filler right now. That's what it is. But so let's talk about what actually went down. Some of you didn't watch SmackDown, so let's tell you. This was really, we had an opening promo with the Bloodline, and I'm just going to lay it out. All it was Tama Tonga being announced as the new right-hand man. Like, that was really the big thing that came out of that. And the other big thing that came out of it was Paul Heyman saying that from now on until Roman Reigns returns, Solo Sikoa is going to be sitting at the head of the table. Kevin Owens comes out, and he's not so afraid of the Bloodline. He goes in there by himself and starts to fight all these guys. Of course, he's outnumbered. The Street Profits come out. They have his back. This all leads to a main event match that we see, a 3-on-3. It was a pretty fun match. We had some good moments with Solo Sikoa and Kevin Owens, but then that ended in a DQ when Solo Sikoa ends up hitting Montez Ford with a chair. That was it. I got that down in like 20 seconds.
and some of this we'd already seen, right? Like, Solo Sikoa has announced himself the tribal chief in Roman Reigns' absence. So all Paul Heyman did was double down on the announcement. Kevin Owens and Tama Tonga were fighting. That's how Tama Tonga came in to WWE. That was, you know, and it worked at that point. It doesn't work when you try to do it again weeks later when nothing has changed in between. There's no gravity. There's no stakes. There's no nothing. It's just like, all right, we need to have something on the television tonight.
That's literally what it was. We just need to have something on the television. We need to have them come out and say something, but it was a whole lot of nothing. Or like you said, just doubling down. The match itself was fun. Kind of a bummer that it ended in DQ, but that's sort of what you would expect. And you were asking if Solo Sikoa had won a match since the last time he faced John Cena. Yes, he has, actually. There's been quite a few that I guess we just forgot about. And aside from like... because here he's been doing a lot of like road to WrestleMania stuff, but like on TV, the last one was Backlash. Solo Sikoa and Tama Tonga versus Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. That was the last big win that he got. So that was in May.
But what about early May?
One on one on television?
Yeah, that's what I mean. What about a one on one?
So let me see. In April, he lost to Jey Uso on SmackDown.
Yeah.
He lost to Jey Uso again on another SmackDown. He lost to Seth Rollins on a Raw. And it's like, it hasn't been very many. I can't even find a single. Oh, here we go. Solo Sikoa defeated John Cena at Crown Jewel. That really was the last time Solo Sikoa won a singles match. Holy shit. You're
That's
right.
What I'm saying.
Bro, what the F? They don't even have him winning in the freaking house shows. He's losing in the house shows too.
Yeah, so I'm supposed to believe this guy's the tribal chief? I mean, the jobber chief. We got it going on here.
I feel, you know what I feel? You know when a magician does a trick and it's like optical illusion, they have you looking somewhere else to distract you from how they're pulling off the magic trick? That's what they did with Solo Sikoa. They're distracting you by having him walk out first, come out with his colorful red shoes, and threaten Paul Heyman. Meanwhile, what's actually happening is they haven't had him win any actual matches.
And it's all this. It's like when he does this, you know, like that's supposed to...
Like, in my mind, I'm like, yeah, he had to have won several matches. There's nothing. What the hell? Dude, I'm like, oh, I'm astonished right now. I'm honestly astonished. I'm actually a little disappointed. I can't even believe this, but whatever. It is what it is. We got Jana here who says, how's it going to work with Roman and Cody both being huge babyfaces on the same brand, especially if there's a rematch? Raw has been cooking 100 times more. Dude, I don't know because I don't know where Cody Rhodes is going to be at by the time Roman Reigns comes out, what program he's going to be a part of, what the situation is going to be. Is there anything you have in mind? I would keep them apart for the time being.
If we're not going to do Roman Cody 3 at SummerSlam, then I think that, again, there's two people. One is Gunther at SummerSlam, but that's not going to happen because of Damian Priest, right? He won the King of the Ring.
Right.
So I think it's got to be Randy Orton. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that makes sense. You know, you got to do Randy and Cody at that point. That's the only one outside of Roman who I think brings the juice to that right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling you. I agree with you on that one. We got Will Chisholm here who says, I'm sorry, but when Cody told SJ, I'm going to make you do what you should have done last week is saying quite
AJ. What he told AJ.
Oh, I'm like, who's SJ? Sorry, guys, brain fart right now. I'm not my very best at this moment. I'm sorry, but when Cody told AJ, I'm going to make you do what you should have done last week is saying quite that kind of hurt me.
I quit.
Oh, okay. Oh, my
God. A lot of typos. It's not your fault. A lot of typos.
Will Chisholm, what are you doing to me? Guys, watch out with the typos because my brain will just like blah, crumble down. All right. Since you understood the super chat more, Robin, break it down.
All right. What I would say is that kind of hurt you. So I guess it's like, I mean, you're going back, which is cool. I like the wrinkle in the match. Let me say that first. I do like it making it an I Quit match to call back to last week and AJ Styles' fake retirement. So that was a nice little touch. I do like the fact that at least this time around, there's a reason for the match happening. There is some sort of friction that's been established here. But at the same time, it does bother me that Cody Rhodes keeps being the sucker in every situation. You know, like going back to when The Rock just took his spot and he was like, okay, you know, that changed because he stood up for himself, and one of the craziest movements in the history of pro wrestling took place. I mean, I think we're going to look back on that the way we do the Montreal Screwjob. Not exactly the same, but parallel in the sense of something you'll always remember that was different than everything else, right? Like, and that is really cool, and it makes Cody's win forever historic for a number of reasons. But since that moment, which was not good, and since the title, he basically lets everybody dictate the terms for him. So Logan Paul doesn't want to put his U.S. title on the line. That's fine. AJ Styles gets kicked, punted to the back of the line, and fake retirements, suckers you with his fake retirement, and then gets exactly what he wants by suckering you with his fake retirement. And what is Cody doing? Like, he's just going out there to give people what they want.
So literally what happened today, he's out there, he's pissed off, he's waiting for AJ Styles at the loading dock. Adam Pearce is telling him, like, don't do this, you got to be professional, blah, blah, blah. He comes out, he finally shows up to the arena, he shows up with the OC, and there's all the security guards out there keeping him away. So Cody Rhodes turns around, walks to the ring, and calls him out. He goes out there, but when he goes out there, AJ and the OC, all of a sudden, all of the security guards come out. And this is what I thought was pretty, this was messed up though. So after they made the challenge, and after it was made official, we are getting this match at Clash at the Castle, an I Quit match, AJ Styles versus Cody Rhodes for the title. All of the security guards held down Cody Rhodes because he was going to go and attack AJ. So they're all holding him down. AJ Styles goes and freaking clobbers Cody Rhodes. And I'm like, bro, the security guards are essentially helping out AJ Styles here because they held him down for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I like the I Quit part of it. I did like, that's at least like a nice callback, what you should have done. And it gives the match a level of drama that maybe it wouldn't have had otherwise, because I am almost 100% sure Cody Rhodes wins again. And you don't want to just run back the match that they just had. So how do you get to that finish? At least there's going to be some drama in that. But yeah, I mean, off of last week, at the end of last week was really good. I don't know if they capitalized on it in a great way.
I did like how they did that today. I thought it was fine. Like, I was interested. I had my jaw dropped just a tiny bit when they were like, an I Quit match. Because I was like, oh, what stipulation are we going with? Oh, I Quit. Nice. So I am looking forward to this match. And I should say right now that I think that Clash of the Castle is honestly shaping up. It's looking pretty good. You got this match. You got, I'm hoping. We'll see what happens. I do hope we see CM Punk come out during the Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest match. We got that match made. We got the women's tag team match made as well in a triple threat. Jade and Bianca defending against Zoe and Shayna, Isla, and Alba. So we might as well get to that as well. You know, we had the tag team match with Jade and Bianca versus Indy and Candice. Jade looks good. She gets the win for her team. And after this, unfortunately, while they're celebrating, they turn their backs to the other teams that were on the outside. Kind of made them look a little silly, but they ended up getting their comeuppance afterwards. But this all leads to all teams brawling. They go up to the back. They talk to Nick Aldis and who am I talking about? Like Nick, yeah, freaking Nick Aldis. And Nick Aldis makes it official. So there you go.
Well, the tandem moves between them are pretty sick too, between Bianca and Jade. And I agree with you. Look, every WWE PLE is good. Like I can't remember the last one where I was like, that wasn't at least good. So they have a quality floor that they're hitting each and every time. I've said before, a lot of these international ones feel like glorified house shows, and eventually, that's what I guess I'm just waiting for is the twist, the plot twist. When do we get a kick in the ass to tell us where we're going next? Like what the next big mission is that we're headed toward, the next big conclusion that we're headed toward, instead of like spinning our wheels a little bit, which is natural post-WrestleMania. But I'm with you. The card on paper is going to be good. It's going to be a good show. I'm almost sure of that. And then the Bianca and Jade thing, I think is, you know, they've made them look unbeatable. And their tandem offenses look strong. And we start to see a little bit more from Jade all the time. Like, you know, I really like it's not like it's a mind-blowing thing, but her power kick in that match that was delivered really well is like, oh yeah, you know, like, because Jade eventually, you know, they're going to unlock something super duper special here. We know we're building towards her being like a main event, real talent. Like, and it's just about sharpening the edges and refining everything and getting to a certain point. And I think this has been effective in doing that, this presentation of them being, you know, dominant, who she's aligned with, and even some of the stuff that they're pulling off together. Cause it's like, who's going to beat them?
Also, speaking of the champs, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, I do have a brand new interview that just went up today with Bianca Belair. It's about 14 minutes long, but we actually got so much in there. We talked about Becky Lynch taking some time off from WWE. We talked about her partnership with Jade Cargill. She talked about so much. Also, on top of that, they're doing a 2K24 fashion competition. She talks about that. I mean, there's honestly a lot in 14 minutes. I was very surprised by how much I was able to get. She talks about the NXT women's division, the Roxanne Jordan match that's coming up this Sunday. All of that, make sure you guys check out the interview. It's here on the podcast feed. It's here on the YouTube channel. You guys can watch that interview with Bianca Belair. And she's always so much fun and so down to earth. So I think it's a nice different version from what you get on TV and who she is in interviews. We got a super chat here from Sleaze Boy here who says, the new bloodline ain't working. Maybe they can rebrand Solo and the Tonga and Tamatonga and Tongaloa as Ramon and the and as Roman and the why did I say Ramon? Guys, I'm on the pills right now. What can I say? As Roman and the Usos, think of fake Diesel or fake Razor Ramon. That's why I said Ramon. I saw Roman and Ramon and my brain just put them together.
I almost totally forgot about fake Diesel and fake Razor Ramon. That's got to be a low point in WWE history, right? Like, I mean, as hot as the NWO was at the moment. You know, what I watched the other day was the A&E docs I like, right? And I watched the one on Hulk Hogan and The Rock in Toronto and the build to that match. But the NWO storyline, just how hot that was when you go back into that time. You realize that WWE was desperate in throwing those bootleg guys out there, but it does feel like bootleg bloodline. I mean, I gotta say it's bootleg bloodline right now without Roman, without Jay, without even Sammy. There's just nothing. Paul Heyman is got these dudes on his back and he can't get in the ring.
It's the Temu version. That's what the kids are saying nowadays. It's the Temu version. It went from Wish to Temu. Is it Temu or Temu?
I think it's Temu. You know, Timu? It's like RC Cola, right? Did you post that Dr. Pepper was more popular than Pepsi?
Yeah, it was on the news.
That's wild.
Right? They're the number two brand now in sodas. I'm honestly really proud of Dr. Pepper. Look at them. It took them years.
Is it at least a Pepsi brand? Because I'd feel bad for Pepsi if they were getting stomped down by, I think it's a subsidiary of PepsiCo.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
I have no earthly idea. I just know that Dr. Pepper is number two. Pepsi's number three. Number one is still Coca-Cola.
Well, then Pepsi can't be the competitor of, you know, like, because it's Pepsi and Coke. Can you still be Pepsi and Coke if Dr. Pepper has surpassed you?
No, now it's Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper's the new number one contender, man.
And there's no Dr. Pepper going on in the bloodline right now.
Coca-Cola's having a longer reign than Roman Reigns.
The Coca-Cola, yeah, they're Bruno Sammartino Coca-Cola.
Yeah, for reals. We got Heidi Ho here who says SmackDown was preempted in Alabama. It'll air at 11 p.m. local time. Sounds like I didn't miss much. Any particular clips I should look up online?
Yes. I'd say L.A. Knight and Logan Paul, those ones back and forth. I liked L.A. saying, I'm going to bring SmackDown to you. That was an interesting thing. Like, are we doing one of these home invasion angles?
We have to do a home invasion because LA, oh my God, I'm Carmelo Hayes now. I'm confusing people's names. LA Knight looked really dumb having to come out and be like, so is Logan Paul finally here? Then the next week, is Logan Paul finally here? At some point, he has to go to him. And he's done a home invasion angle with him and AJ before. So now I want to see the home invasion angle with him and Logan. And Logan's house looks really nice, I may add. It's really nice.
That it looks prime. That vignette he cut was ill, too. Logan stunted on that. He said, you know, you're just a jacket with a denim jacket with a catchphrase. And I'm going to send you back to the mid-card. Come on.
And he also said he was wearing Temu glasses.
Yeah.
And then he called him Hillbilly Aladdin.
Yeah.
By the way, I had to Google Aladdin because I wanted to be reminded of just, I wanted to see a side by side of him and LA Knight. And I was like, nah, I don't see it. It's not that, it was funnier when he said it, but when you actually get the imagery, it doesn't hit as hard.
It just sounds, yeah, if, I guess if you do the investigating behind the joke, it doesn't work, but it did sound funny. When he said it, I thought that vignette that Logan had might have been the strongest part of the show.
I actually really liked it. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, like this was good. Like he just threw some shots out there. I thought this was honestly a really good promo. And that was really the gist of it, was him talking shit on LA Knight, making fun of his glasses, and then calling him freaking hillbilly Aladdin. That was literally it. And also LA Knight's coming for Logan Paul.
Which that's sort the summary of, knew, of right? it all. We sort of knew, but they work well. You know, like I think they're going to have a good energy and vibe back and forth, because LA Knight is a walking catchphrase, but it's worked for him. And he had that really strong promo you just referenced last week against Carmelo Hayes that I thought made him look strong and didn't make Carmelo look so strong. And then
I don't blame Carmelo no more, because by the way, like saying Logan Paul, LA Knight, the L's threw me off too, man. I mean, I have some pity there for Carmelo. I get it, man. I get it.
And Logan Paul, you know, he showed out in that match against Cody. I thought he did really well for himself as he has. And there's just, I think going to be a little bit more of an opportunity for the right kind of verbal jousting between him and LA Knight. I think it could be a really strong dynamic.
To me, this is going to be like one of the biggest tests for LA Knight. Of course, he's been up there against Roman Reigns, so he's had some big tests in WWE already. But to me, Logan Paul is really good at promos, and he's really good at coming up with some like funny shit like on the spot. And so I'm curious to see who would win that promo war between LA Knight and Logan Paul. I feel like that one's going to be a test, because again, you mentioned they are pretty similar.
And it's going to be the ad-libbing that can win it, right? Like it's going to be who's thinking faster on their feet in those moments.
I also feel like Logan Paul is more willing to hit below the belt. You know what I'm saying? Like, I definitely think it'll happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, his brother is going to fight a senior citizen. So, Logan Paul was known for, his entire existence has been known for being annoying, to the point where I actually think he's sort of unfairly targeted. Like, when you go and read the stuff about Prime, like, I feel like they're going out of their way to shit on Prime because it's Logan Paul. Like, I remember when Prime first came out, when I first became aware of it, it was last summer, I believe it was last summer, at the town pool. The ice cream man was selling Primes. I guess he realized that, you know, the kids were really into Prime. And all the kids are running back, we got Prime, boys, we got Prime. And I'm like, what is Prime? So I take it from my son, and I look at the back, and I read the nutrition thing, and I'm like, all right, you know, it's like any other, you know, there's some artificial sweetener in here, can't be great for you, but there's nothing else. Like, it's nothing. And then I see on the news, like, how Prime could kill you. And they were purposely misleading you, in the sense of the fact that they didn't recognize the differentiation between the energy drink and the hydration drink, which is clearly different. The energy drink is in a can. The kids know that. The hydration drink is more, you know, with the screw off.
I didn't even know there was a difference. This whole time I thought Prime was just Prime. I'm like, oh,
no,
I have not been paying that much attention to Prime.
Quite a bit of Prime. I have strawberry banana Prime in the fridge over there. And if you're looking for the energy drink, I recommend the orange one. I forget what flavor it is. But anyhow, I say all that to say that I think, like, because of Logan's reputation, people went out of their way to crap on his brand. But when you see him, he's one of the most naturally talented people to ever step foot into professional wrestling. When you talk about athletic ability to put on a good match, ingenuity, it was his idea to do that drone shot that they did at the PLE where he frog splashed Cody. Promo abilities right away, going up against some of the greats and going up against a guy like LA Knight, who is over AF, right? Like, so he's got talent. He's got the goods. He was born to do this.
I agree. I do like Logan Paul in WWE. The outside stuff, I don't even follow too much, but the stuff in WWE, I do got to give him kudos for that. All right, we got Tunde Ude here who says, why do I feel like Unc Howdy gig will be boring? I hope not. I really, really hope not. Again, I'm expecting that June 17th. That lands on a Monday. We got another of the QR codes today, and someone actually sent me what is in the QR code, and it was basically, it's like this. I'm not going to read all of that. It's a bunch of text stuff. And then here's the other screen. So there's just a lot in here. And it's very poetic. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you remembered who we are. You remembered who you are. And a bunch of other stuff in here. So for those of you who are interested in that, to read the whole entire thing and decipher it, it's up there. But the people that are interested are going to be interested.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I'm more so just waiting for the on-screen stuff.
Yeah, but it's another thing. It's like, okay, time for the payoff. I think they've actually done a really good job in general with that. Like the build-up and the suspense and the curiosity. I've seen it work with my son. So I'm not going to take, you know, if it's two more weeks, rather, you know, when I feel like it should have been today, whatever, I'm not going to complain about two more weeks. I get it. You have to set things up properly. It all comes down to the payoff. That will determine how well it worked, is the debut, what they do with Uncle Howdy.
We got Dan J here who says, love SmackDown today, hyped for the I Quit match. I'm glad to hear it, man. I really am glad to hear that. This wasn't my favorite edition of SmackDown, but I too am looking forward to the I Quit match. Thank you so much for sending in that super chat. We got Gold Standard here who says, WWE over AEW a fact, and TK hire a booker, please. appreciate the super chat, man. Thank you so much. We got AJ Schreiber here who says, new subscriber. Robin is always plugging the show during the show. Thanks for having me. Hell yeah, let's go. Welcome. I appreciate it. Thank you, Robin, for plugging the show.
Of course, I'm on the show. Why would I not plug the show? But I also speak very highly of you, Denise.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. We got Dan J who says, personally, I've enjoyed Bayley's title run. I feel bad. Like, I want to enjoy it. I'm waiting to enjoy it. Like, help me enjoy it, WWE. Like, I'm ready. I'm ready, willing, and able.
I forget she's the champ sometimes.
That sucks. That honestly sucks. And I know, because I said that last week, and I hate that. I really, really hate that. Like, come on. I'm ready. I'm excited. Like feed, like you said, feed me more.
Yeah, I mean, like right now, for instance, like, you can't ignore what Liv Morgan is doing, right? It is hot. It is probably the hottest thing they got going on. You can't ignore Jade and Bianca when they're on screen. It's even Nia winning Queen of the Ring. That's hot. Everything. What is even happening? What is she doing? What is her purpose? Who is she feuding with? Where is she going? There's just nothing there.
It really wasn't until this week, because they had made the match last week with her and Piper, but last week it felt like the attention was on Piper and Nia. And it wasn't until really tonight where I felt like they finally moved in the direction of building this match between both of those women.
But Bayley didn't get my, again, she got beat up last week, right? And then she didn't speak much this week. Like, you got to give her, you know, I think it's like we're aligned here in a sense. And maybe I'm being harsher than you are, but your point is valid too, because she's not getting the opportunity necessarily. Now, if she gets the opportunity and that doesn't work, then maybe you just, like, it is what it is. But yeah, they, and I always have to remember, because I've said this before, and like the super chat a couple chats ago, I think the I quit match is a good idea. It puts a lot of drama into how AJ Styles is going to lose. I liked Logan Paul and LA Knight. I've been wanting to see those guys go against each other. Roman's return is going to be epic when it happens. The Jade Bianca dynamic we know eventually is going to lead to a rift and then something epic between those two. So I have to practice what I preach in the sense of WWE has earned the benefit of the doubt from me. You know, over a long period of time, they've delivered a killer product. And I think they will eventually get back there, and all this stuff that maybe we're complaining about now will be long forgotten. I just was a little caught up in, I think we're now a few weeks in to what it felt like some stagnant SmackDowns that didn't, I don't expect them to have the pre-WrestleMania energy, but are in a whole different stratosphere altogether.
Yeah, so hopefully it starts to pick up, and I'm hoping that after Clash at the Castle, heading into Money in the Bank and heading into SummerSlam, it's a little bit hotter. We got Stephen Marchulli here who says, will they use a Jax to turn Tiffany face? Possibly. That could be a direction that they go in, because I think at some point, I mean, she kind of felt like a face when she came onto the main roster, but then it was like, hey, reminder, no, she's not. That's not who Tiffany Stratton is. So I'm wondering that could possibly be a direction that they go in after we start to see this pairing with her and Nia.
Yeah, but she feels more heelish to me. I know the Tiffy time thing, like, I don't know. I'm thinking, have they announced the participants at all for the Women's Money in the Bank?
Not yet, no. But they did make a mention of it today, slightly, with Naomi backstage.
Because I've been calling for it for a minute. I think she wins that match. I think she wins on the women's side, and Jey Uso wins on the men's side, puts Yeet on the briefcase. You know, like, and that I think could work for both of them, given, you know, where they've been building towards. But I think, you know, if she's going to be aligned with Nia Jax, why are we turning her face? What's she then going for if she turns face?
I don't know. I think it's just like a natural thing where people just want to cheer for her.
That is true. I mean, they did do it at Down Under, right? That was in the
Elimination Chamber.
But I don't know if they were cheering for her because, like, are they cheering for her on a week in and week out? You know, the one thing I'll say is there is some crossover between the Chelsea Green character and the Tiffany Stratton character on screen, so I could see it. I mean, look, she's going to work with whatever she's doing because she's immensely talented, but I do think they've been prepping her for Money in the Bank.
I hope you're right, man. I really hope you're right, because that's exactly what I want to see. We got Will Chisholm here who says, find you ask Bianca how the baby is doing, because every 3 months people keep thinking she's having a baby. Do they really always think she's having a baby?
There was definitely that. I didn't know it was always, but there was definitely like a rumor for a period of time that Bianca Belair was pregnant. I forget when it was. It was fairly recently. So it was like a thing, like online, where people were speculating that she was pregnant. I don't know what she did to make them think that. I don't know if it's because she's got the show with Montez Ford or whatnot, but it was definitely a thing. I remember it being a thing.
Yeah, because I know that on the show, like, she's talked about, like, whether or not she... I only saw the previews because I only watched the first two episodes, so I didn't get to the other episodes where she actually went to like a doctor, but it showed there on the trailer that she went to a doctor and she talked about like what that would mean, right? Because she's an athlete and how long it would take for her to be out, like not just for the pregnancy, but then also for, you know, afterwards getting back into shape, and not just any kind of ordinary shape, Bianca Belair shape, you know? So I don't know, but it's funny because I was just reading the story, and I'm sure a lot of people here saw it, and you might have seen it too, Robin, where there was some photos that came out of Lady Gaga recently where she looked a little bit pregnant, right? And they went around and they were like, oh, she's pregnant. And she came out on a video and she was like, nope, I'm not pregnant. And I started thinking to myself, like, yeah, like, I know they're celebrities and they're always skinny, but people bloat, man. We're all people. We all bloat. It's going to happen.
Yeah, and when you're under that microscope, I mean, because, like, the beginning of a pregnancy is not much either. Like, it's just a... So, that's the... You gotta be pretty sure if you're gonna call that shot. Let me just put it that way. You'd be pretty sure. Don't call the pregnancy shot on a woman unless you're sure about it.
I thought it to myself. I was like, man, if I was like Lady Gaga and there was cameras on me all the time, people would think I was pregnant every freaking meal because I bloat like there's no tomorrow. I'd be looking like a Macy's Day Parade float. All right, we got Will Chisholm here, DWO member for 9 months, who says DWO for life. Let's go. Thank you so much, Will Chisholm. Appreciate it, man. All right, I'm trying to think what we didn't get into for the show, and then we'll wrap things up. Do you got anything else you want to add on DIY versus Grayson and Austin? They're still teasing that turn with Grayson and Austin. Austin Theory looks pretty irritated with Grayson Waller at this point. They get the win, but he is not happy with him whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, I think there were some cool spots in that match between Gargano and Grayson Waller. A couple of cool spots that look good, and I'm digging the slow build to the Theory and Waller clash. I think that's worked fairly well overall. I wonder where they go from there after that, and who, you know, how do those two guys? That's interesting to project forward because I think it works, but then, you know, where do both go individually after that will be the interesting direction, I think. Other than that, I was a good match, good tension, and some good spots between, I think, Gargano and Waller in particular.
Yeah, I think there's not that much to say. I feel like now I'm just waiting to see when the actual moment happens and when they decide to, like, go – you know, full throttle with this actual feud, because I think once they do, I think it'll be good. And it could be like that next story, because right now, like, what's the story that's keeping you engaged on SmackDown? Because I know you're like, you're so-and-so when it comes to Cody Rhodes and AJ Styles. That's really not even the biggest story.
Yeah. And that's not we know that's a filler story in a sense, right? Like, I don't think I'm speaking out of turn to say that. We know that, you know, AJ is such a pro. And those two are both so good in the ring. You know you're going to get a good match, but there's no chance AJ's winning the championship. We know that's not the big program for Cody. The bloodline, I mean, those have been the two biggest stories still, the bloodline and Cody and AJ, but the bloodline isn't working to the same level because it doesn't have the you know, the people that we associate the bloodline with and have for 4 years, really. I don't know if they have that big story. So I think they need to find it and show it to us soon. I mean, it's time. It's time.
I feel like right now the options are Grayson and Austin Theory. And even then, like, let's see how that turns out. I don't know if it'll be the story, but it can at least be a story that we're interested in. And then, of course, like you said earlier, LA Knight and Logan Paul. It's just the problem is Logan Paul isn't there every week. So when he's not there, it sort of leaves the other person that he's feuding with high and dry. And so, but those are really kind of like the stories that I am looking forward to that could be something on the show. Because again, it does feel like a little bit of a holding pattern that we're seeing right now. So I do have faith, though. I do feel like the Cody Rhodes AJ Styles story is picking up. Again, I liked what they did this week, and I liked what they did last week. So at least this is getting to be something, like, this could be something more. And now I'm just, like, waiting for it to, like, get, like, really good. So we'll see.
I think it has, at least this time around, it has a purpose. It has a nice wrinkle to differentiate it from the last one. All that is good. I still think we're waiting for the thing with Cody Rhodes post WrestleMania that goes, okay, we're here. You know,
I think it's not going to be until it's Randy Orton. I feel like you have your heart set on Randy already.
Maybe I'm just thinking of who's available.
There's not very many people available.
that's where Randy Orton comes into my head. Because to me, it was Gunther and Randy Orton. Now I know Gunther's going for the other title. We know Drew and Punk are on the other brand and otherwise preoccupied. Roman's not. So unless it's sign me up for Cody. I will watch Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns wrestle to infinity and beyond.
Not me. I'm done after this last time. After this last time, I'm at least going to need like 5 years till they meet again.
No, I could watch that. I think their chemistry is about as good as I've ever seen, to be honest. But if it's not going to be Roman, then who amongst the available talent pool makes sense? And if Gunther's also preoccupied, Randy is the one. There's history. There's credibility. I think, you know, just something. Randy has aura. He's got it. And I think, you know, that would be the first match since Cody became champion, if they were to make it, where you're at least not sure of what the outcome is.
That's true. That's very, very true. Who knows? Maybe they can swerve us at Clash of the Castle, and then we see Cody Rhodes say "I quit," although I can't see it. I would be pissed. I'd be like, really, Cody? After all of that, you're just going to quit? Oh, I would be livid. I don't want to see Cody Rhodes quit at all at Clash of the Castle. But there you go, guys. That was our Friday night post show for SmackDown. Just a heads up to everybody, I am going to be at Clash of the Castle. Oh my God, I can't talk today, Robin. I'm on the drugs for people who don't know. Anyways, that sounds really bad, but everybody knows that I had dental surgery yesterday and I woke up bright and early today to do the Bianca interview. And then I've just been on the pills for the rest of the day. But anyway, so what the hell was I talking about? Oh yeah, Clash of the Castle.
What kind of pills are we talking about?
What?
What kind of pills?
Pills? Oh, yeah. I'm on pain pills and antibiotics. So antibiotics aren't bad, but the pain ones, I don't know. I'm just going to blame it on those.
Or were they like narcotic pain? Are they like ibuprofens or are they like
it's perks? Ibuprofen.
Oh, okay.
But I don't have ibuprofen often. Like this is like the first time I've had ibuprofen in like at least 5 years. So
you're
maybe
like rocked off the Advil.
Maybe they're making me like twitch and shit. I don't know. I'm just not all there yet. Like, I literally feel like I have, like, you can't tell, but I feel like I have a giant sock in my mouth. Like, literally, because my face just feels so swollen. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not really swollen, like, where you could see it, but I could feel it. And it's just
there.
You got
so many nerves in your gums. You know, so right. Anything there is going to feel extra.
So, like, this right now literally feels like, bleh. So I'm just going to blame it on my situation for my terrible talking for today. But anyways, I'm going to be in Scotland next week for a Clash at the Castle. And so that means that you and I won't be here this Friday. And there will be no Wednesday show, no Friday show, no Saturday show. So I hope you guys are okay with that. And I hope when we return, we get a massive pop from everybody. So if you don't see us next week, it's cool. We're not canceled. We will be back the following week. And you will be seeing tons of Clash at the Castle coverage here on the channel. And I've already started. I have the Bianca Belair interview that just went up today. And then tomorrow, I'm going to be dropping another interview, so keep an eye out for that one as well. Robin, what do you got going on?
I'll be on Sirius XM Mad Dog on Sunday from noon to 4. Obviously, you can check me out on social media, the YouTube channel over there. We've had some people cross it over here and have fun in Scotland. That sounds fun. Like, that sounds
yeah, I'm excited. I can't eat anything, but I'm excited.
You can't eat by next week?
I don't know.
You gotta talk to your. They didn't give you any sort of guidelines here.
I mean, I don't know. They say stuff, and it's just like go and see what happens, right? So yeah. I hope I can eat, or I can't be chowing down chips and stuff.
They're not really known for their food, are they?
Anyway. I don't know what they're. I don't even know what kind of food they serve in Scotland. Like, what am I supposed to order? What are they famous for?
I don't think any of those places are famous for their food. Like, that's like fish and chips kind of town, right? Like, I mean, like, you know, they, yeah, I don't think, let me, I can look
fish
it up.
Fish and chips?
Well, that's like England, but like Scotland food. What is
it? Yeah, like, what are they famous for?
Scottish cuisine often uses locally sourced ingredients like beef, lamb, fish, game, oats, barley, and potatoes. Meat pudding.
I can eat potatoes.
Meat pudding is one of their famous foods. They're not known for their foods. They're known
meat
for
pudding? I've never had that, but I'll try it.
I think they're known for the landscape and the character.
Yeah, we'll see. Castle. All right, we'll see what I find. I'm gonna eat some meat pudding. That sounds terrible.
It does. It's brought to you by Blue Chew. Yeah.
Oh man. Well, if I do have some meat pudding, I'll share it with everybody. So we'll see what I find in Scotland to eat. Robin, thank you so much as always for tuning into the show. Thank you to everybody watching. Please do not forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you guys enjoyed the show. And I think that's it, right? We got everything? Cool. All right. We'll see you guys on the next one. Bye, everyone.
Eat.
Feel the pulse of the city. Feel the beat of the drum. Feel the bass blow your hair. In Las Vegas, live music delivers much more than sound. It's where music comes alive. With artists like Megan Thee Stallion, Maroon 5, Carrie Underwood, Shania Twain, Babyface, Lionel Richie, and many more. Every show is a playground for your senses. See the full summer lineup at visitlasvegas.com.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Long days and no drumstick make for short fuses. And this fateful Monday, my fuse was as stubby and hungry as they come.
Where are the drumstick vanilla cones?
Take it easy, Sonny.
Where are the drumstick vanilla cones, please? Yes! Sweet, creamy, crunchy, crispy, decadent deliciousness.
Sir, I can ring you up.
In my preoccupation with scoring a drumstick, I had forgotten my wallet. Do you offer buy now, pay later? Another day, another drumstick.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor. And take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.